What was actually going on with that battle between Gandalf and the Balrog? Who was more powerful? What was with Gandalf's speech about being Keeper of the Secret Fire and so on? And who won? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. It is one of the most pivotal moments in The Lord of the Rings. Gandalf facing the Balrog. An epic battle that led to Gandalf's death and return as Gandalf the White. To the first-time reader of The Lord of the Rings, it must have come as quite a gut punch. Our heroes had barely set out on their epic journey from Rivendell when they lose their leader, wisest member, and mentor to so many. To come up against a foe that powerful so early in the quest, barely a quarter of the way into the story, broke so many rules of storytelling. We didn't know that the Balrog was there, or even that there was such a thing as a Balrog, and then, within a couple of pages of its introduction, it had pulled Gandalf down into the dark chasm, and the Fellowship were left to carry on alone. Utter devastation. So, what was going on? Well, leaving Tolkien's mastery at storytelling to one side for a moment, let's start with the ancient history. The Balrog we know as Durin's Bane is a Maia, one of the Ainur who sung creation into existence at Eru's instigation and descended into Arda. But they fell with Morgoth into rebellion and became fire spirits in Middle-earth. We read this in the Silmarillion. Of the Maia, many were drawn to Melkor, that's Morgoth's splendour, in the days of his greatness, and remained in that allegiance down into his darkness, and others he corrupted afterwards to his service with lies and treacherous gifts. Dreadful among these spirits were the Valarokar, the scourges of fire that in Middle-earth were called the Balrogs, demons of terror. They became among his most loyal of servants, and among his most powerful. They fought alongside him in the formative years of Arda, and waited for him in Middle-earth while he was chained by the Valar in the halls of Mandos for 3 ages. When he finally returned, they heard his call and rushed to his aid. They were at the forefront of his armies in the First Age, and when he was finally defeated and thrown into the abyss at the end of the First Age, an unknown, though probably very small, number of them managed to escape into Middle-earth and hide deep underground. At which point, we should acknowledge that Tolkien changed his view about Balrogs over time. Early on in his creation process, there were legions of them. By the time he wrote The Lord of the Rings, they were much more powerful and much, much fewer in number. We will be taking what appears to be his last and best conception, the one that prevailed at the time of the writing of The Lord of the Rings. There were only ever a small number of Balrogs, and they were powerful Maia. So the Balrog we know as the Balrog, also known as Durin's Bane, for reasons I'll come on to in just a second, hid, sleeping under the misty mountains for thousands of years before the dwarves of Khazad-dûm inadvertently woke him by doing what dwarves do, mining deeper and deeper underground. That was around the year 1980 of the Third Age. The dwarves obviously fought back, but they didn't really stand a chance. King Durin the Sixth of the Longbeards died fighting it, hence the name Durin's Bane. The dwarves fled and Durin's Bane made himself at home, becoming acquainted with the ancient chambers and tunnels deep underground. About 500 years later, the orcs began to creep back in, first in small numbers, then larger as Sauron himself started sending more orcs, trolls and the like to secure the pass under the mountain for his own forces. Which isn't to say that the Balrog was on Sauron's side. It seems to have been the same sort of relationship he had with Smaug and Shelob, recognising another significant power with shared interests rather than a true alliance. Durin's Bane allowed the orcs to stay in Moria. They mattered little to him. The orcs, in turn, may have been Sauron's, but they understandably feared the Balrog, and Durin's Bane was there, whereas Sauron was hundreds of miles away. There was a brief encounter with the outside world at the end of the War of the Dwarves and Orcs in the year 2799. The dwarves won the battle, but decided against pressing on into Khazad-dûm to reclaim their homeland because Dain Ironfoot, yes, the same Dain Ironfoot who would later become king under the mountain at Erebor, but while he was still a very young dwarf, looked into the East Gate and felt the terror of the Balrog. He wisely urged caution. In all of which, it's clear that although the dwarves had encountered Durin's Bane a couple of times, they didn't know it was a Balrog, per se. They just knew it was a very powerful, ancient and evil being. When the Fellowship meet it, Gandalf and Legolas name it as a Balrog, whereas Gimli identifies it simply as Durin's Bane. So the wise in Middle-earth may well have had their suspicions about what had pushed the dwarves out of Khazad-dûm, but no one knew for sure. And Moria gained a fell reputation. In fact, the word Moria itself is an Elvish word meaning black pit. It was no longer the legendary underground city of Khazad-dûm. Occasionally someone did venture in there. Gandalf apparently sought there long for Thrain, son of Thror, after he was lost. Aragorn passed through there once, and Balin launched his unsuccessful attempt to reclaim Khazad-dûm a few years before the Lord of the Rings, but mostly it remained dark and hidden to the outside world. A Balrog was there, but never ventured outside, and no one outside knew for sure what was there, just that something was. It clearly kept a low profile while Aragorn and Gandalf had previously been there. Enter the Fellowship and Gandalf in the main story. The geography of Middle-earth means that if you want to get from Rivendell to Gondor and Mordor, there are only a few possible routes. They tried going through the Redhorn Pass, but were defeated by the mountain and the weather, and maybe some external opposition as well, and Gandalf was insistent that they couldn't pass through the Gap of Rohan, given its proximity to Saruman, so the only reasonable alternative was under the mountains, via Moria. It's an underreported part of Aragorn's character that he can be quite prescient at times, sensing the ways fate or Eru's hand will guide events. And while the party are debating whether Moria is a good idea, he says this: "I will follow your lead now, if this last warning does not move you. It is not of the ring, nor of us others that I am thinking now, but of you, Gandalf. And I say to you, if you pass the doors of Moria, beware." A direct, if rather vague, warning for Gandalf, which he probably noted, but decided to go ahead anyway. As we noted earlier, Gandalf will have known that there was something evil in Moria, but not what, and he had first-hand experience of passing through unscathed. And to be fair, the Fellowship may indeed have made it through unharmed, if not for Pippin. When Pippin dropped a stone down that well, fool of a took, it seemingly awoke something. But for that... So when Gandalf was going through Moria, he didn't know he would be facing a Balrog. He did know to be wary, but not of what. And even when he first encountered the Balrog's power, he didn't know exactly what it was. He told the rest of the party to keep going while he put some kind of magical ward or lock on a door. Then, suddenly, at the top of the stairs, there was a stab of white light. Then there was a dull rumble and a heavy thud. The drum beats broke out wildly, doom, boom, doom, boom, and then stopped. Gandalf came flying down the steps and fell to the ground in the midst of the company. "Well, well, that's over," said the wizard, struggling to his feet. "I have done all that I could, but I have met my match and have very nearly been destroyed. But don't stand here, go on. You will have to do without light for a while. I am rather shaken." This is the first time we've seen Gandalf rather shaken and saying that he was almost destroyed. He was thrown down the stairs and hasn't even the strength to muster up a simple light spell. And he earlier had faced down all or most, depending on your reading, of the Nazgul for an entire night at Weathertop. This is clearly a foe at least his equal. The Fellowship make it to the bridge of Khazad-dûm, however, running ahead of the orcs. And while they do, Gandalf is clearly trying to make sense of what just happened. He talks to Gimli. "I found myself suddenly faced by something I have not met before. I could think of nothing to do but to try and put a shutting spell on the door. As I stood there, I could hear orc voices on the other side. At any moment, I thought they would burst it open. I could not hear what was said. They seemed to be talking in their own hideous language. All I caught was gash, that is, fire. And then something came into the chamber. I felt it through the door, and the orcs themselves were afraid and fell silent. It laid hold of the iron ring, and then it perceived me and my spell. What it was, I cannot guess, but I have never felt such a challenge. The counterspell was terrible. It nearly broke me. For an instant, the door left my control and began to open. I had to speak a word of command. That proved too great a strain. The door burst in pieces. Something dark as a cloud was blocking out all the light inside, and I was thrown backwards down the stairs. As he said, Gandalf is shaken, and not just physically drained, but unsure what this new challenge is, and he still guides them to within touching distance of the exit. A quick geography lesson here. The Bridge of Khazad-dûm is situated between the First Chamber and the Second Chamber of Khazad-dûm, over a deep, deep, deep chasm. It's the main internal defence against invaders. If they got past the Eastern Gate, they then would have to traverse the bridge, which was deliberately only wide enough for one person at a time. No matter how big the invading army, they would have to battle the dwarves one-on-one. So, on the eastern far side of the bridge was the first chamber, then some stairs, then the way out. If the Fellowship just continued running, they might have made it all the way out. But Gandalf stops before crossing the bridge and turns, sending the Fellowship on. We read this. The ranks of the orcs had opened, and they crowded away, as if they themselves were afraid. Something was coming up behind them. What it was could not be seen. It was like a great shadow, in the middle of which was a dark form, of man shape, maybe, yet greater, and a power and terror seemed to be in it and to go before it. It came to the edge of the fire, and the light faded as if a cloud had bent over it. Then, with a rush, it leaped across the fissure. The flames roared up to greet it and wreathed about it, and a black smoke swirled in the air. Its streaming mane kindled and blazed behind it. In its right hand was a blade like a stabbing tongue of fire. In its left, it held a whip of many thongs. "A Balrog," muttered Gandalf. "Now I understand." He faltered and leaned heavily on his staff. "What an evil fortune. And I am already weary." Note here that despite him telling them to go on, the Fellowship don't. Legolas pauses and fires a few arrows. Aragorn and Boromir stand on the far side of the bridge, swords out, shoulder to shoulder. And later they even charge back onto the bridge to help Gandalf. The others pause at the foot of the stairs out of there. "Gandalf is clear, though. 'Over the bridge,' cried Gandalf, recalling his strength. 'Fly! This is a foe beyond any of you. I must hold the narrow way. Fly!' Fly, obviously here meaning flee, quickly. Gandalf recognises that this is a Maia, like him. Not just another big bad guy that Aragorn and Boromir can fight. This is something supremely other. The Fellowship don't fly until they have to, but let's not worry about them, they'll be fine. Except maybe Boromir. Still too soon? Anyway, we now have the main event. Gandalf versus the Balrog. We don't know the Balrog's state, but Gandalf has said a couple of times that he was weakened a lot by that first encounter. As I said, this was a choice by Gandalf. Probably he knew that the Fellowship could escape out of the first chamber, up the stairs, and out of the east gate. Maybe he could too. If it was light outside, they could get a good distance from the mountains and probably close enough to Lorien to reach safety. But he decides instead to face the Balrog, even in his weakened condition. Why? Well, let's zoom out for a moment. The Valar have largely removed themselves from direct involvement in Middle-earth. So the main powers left are the Maiar, and there are very few of them. The five Astari, including Gandalf, Sauron, and now, as Gandalf discovers, the Balrog. And this seems to be a pretty powerful Balrog. If he survived, whatever happened to Sauron, he would be a danger to all Middle-earth. So, although he doesn't articulate any of this to the Fellowship, Gandalf is here taking on an alternative, unexpected threat to Middle-earth. He is buying them time to escape, yes, but that's not the big thing going on. Given they had a brief magical encounter earlier, the Balrog surely knows he is up against something powerful too, but Gandalf decides that he will make things clear. "You cannot pass," he said. The orcs stood still and a dead silence fell. "I am a servant of the secret fire, wielder of the flame of Anor. You cannot pass. The dark fire will not avail you, flame of Udon. Go back to the shadow. You cannot pass." I still hold that this is elevated Middle-earth smack talk. Gandalf trying to get the Balrog to pause for a moment and think. And sure enough, its flames subside and it steps forward slowly. But to break down what all of that speech means, "I am a servant of the secret fire," announces himself as on the side of Eru, Ilúvatar, the one true god of this world. Both Gandalf and the Balrog will know who that is. Eru is the creator of everything, and he created everything through the means of the secret fire, the source of life, the only being who could create something from nothing. the creator of the Balrog itself, and the Balrog had turned against his creator. Gandalf stayed true. Gandalf was on the side of the creator god Durin's Bane had turned his back on. Wielder of the Flame of Anor. Anor is the sun, the purifying, life-giving fire created by Uru. Gandalf is claiming to wield that, which suggests that he is not just a random servant of Uru, but given the authority to wield his power. And all this is in contrast to the dark fire and the flame of Udun. Well, Udun can have a number of meanings, none of them good. It is perhaps a reference to Utumno, Morgoth's fortress back in the day, or perhaps even to a desolate valley in Mordor, but most definitely to hell. The fire the Balrog wields is a counterfeit fire from hell, compared to the fire Gandalf wields from God himself. Some have attempted here to suggest that Gandalf is also trying to reference his Ring of Power, the Ring of Fire, let's not forget. I wouldn't rule that out, but it's far from the main event. Gandalf is telling the Balrog he is a servant of Eru, of the real fire. Here's the response. The Balrog made no answer. The fire in it seemed to die, but the darkness grew. It stepped forward slowly onto the bridge, and suddenly it drew itself up to a great height, and its wings were spread from wall to wall. But still, Gandalf could be seen glimmering in the doom. He seemed small and altogether alone, grey and bent like a wizened tree before the onset of a storm. So, a pause, and its power seems to wane for a moment. Then it decided to attack anyway, drawing a flaming sword and swinging at Gandalf. There was a ringing clash and a stab of white fire. The Balrog fell back and its sword flew up in molten fragments. The wizard swayed on the bridge, stepped back a pace, and then again stood still. "You cannot pass," he said. If the Balrog needed proof of Gandalf's claims, this was it. Its sword was shattered from that one attack. It fell back. Yes, Gandalf swayed back and took a pace, but his sword was still there. At which point, Gandalf cast what must have been a hugely powerful spell, so powerful that it broke his staff. He broke the bridge. The Balrog screamed and fell into the chasm. As a brief aside, because this is a very deep nerd conversation, but surely Gandalf here can't have thought that the Balrog had actual usable wings, or it would use them. Gandalf's whole plan to destroy the bridge and kill the Balrog was based on the idea that the Balrog couldn't fly back up. Like when, spoilers, the same Balrog falls to his death from the mountaintop later, or the Balrog Glorfindel kills falls from a great height, or any of the other examples. If Balrogs do have wings, they don't ever use them, and everyone knows it. Of course, the Balrog pulls Gandalf down with him by hooking his leg with his whip, and they both go plummeting down a long way into water. They fell for a long, long time, and after they hit the bottom, they fight all the way back up again to the very summit of the mountain. The entire confrontation takes about 10 days. These are two very evenly matched opponents, but eventually Gandalf does prevail. He says that those that looked up from afar thought that the mountain was crowned with storm. Thunder, they heard, and lightning, they said, smote upon Celebdil and leaped back broken into tongues of fire. Is that not enough? A great smoke rose about us, vapour and steam. Ice fell like rain. I threw down my enemy, and he fell from the high place and broke the mountainside where he smote it in his ruin. Then darkness took me, and I strayed out of thought and time, and I wandered far on roads that I will not tell. Ultimately, for all of the talk, this was a meeting of near equals. Both were Maiar. It's just that Gandalf finally had the edge, throwing the Balrog off the mountain to his doom. I do sometimes wonder what would have happened had the Balrog prevailed. Might he have actually gone on to challenge for the rulership of Middle-earth, perhaps after Sauron was gone? It's not beyond the realms of possibility. In the Fourth Age, he would have been one of the most powerful beings imaginable. Let me know what you think about that down in the comments. But Gandalf saw that threat. His sacrifice in facing the Balrog wasn't just to save the Fellowship. It was to save Middle-earth from a threat it barely understood. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos like this, there's a link to my playlist on the left of your screen now. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.